Okay, thank you very much for introducing me, God. I'm very happy to be here this morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ at your church. And thank you very much for your invitation as a guest speaker. And we're going to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ together this morning. I'd like to read the scripture first. John chapter 15, verse 5. Just one verse I will read. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I think this Bible verse is very well known for everyone. So first, I'd like to introduce myself, and then I would like to give you a sermon. My name is Teichiro Kuroda, and I'm a pastor at Kitahama International Bible Church, and I have served in the Lord for more than 50 years long. That's my privilege. And I had no idea that I would become a pastor, but that was the plan of God. By the way, I was born in Taiwan in 1946, which was 1 year after the Second World War. My parents used to live in Taipei for a long time, and they worked there. That's why I was born there. Then, 1 year after the war, we had to come back to Japan. I grew up in Nagoya, and in 1970, I went to Düsseldorf, Germany, to study at the university. And I wanted to study a few universities and then come back to my school to be a professor. But the Lord is great. He had a wonderful plan for my life. I became a Christian when I was 14 years old. And I used to go to church. And I had a dream at that time to go out of Japan, out of this country, and to know another cultures and languages. But I had no idea how to go abroad. That was more than 55 years ago. At that time, most people remained in Japan, so going to abroad was a kind of dream. When I was 22 years old, God brought me to Germany, West Germany, I mean, at that time, to study at the two universities in Düsseldorf and Trier. And it took time to master the language because it was difficult for me. But God had his plan for my life. The city of Düsseldorf was so-called the Japanese colony at that time because many Japanese businessmen and their family members were living. There were about 10,000 Japanese people living at that time. These Japanese were so-called the top people of Japanese society and Japanese companies. They went to well-known universities and schools in Japan, and they were rich people, but they seemed to be very poor spiritually. Some Japanese people tried to commit suicide because of a small Japanese community. And they had problems and conflicts, etc. They had no problems to live. They had no purpose to live. They didn't know the goal of life. And you know, I was a Christian, and I wanted to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God. We all live only once. So our life is very important. So I started to open the Bible class in Düsseldorf among Japanese-speaking people. Though I was a university student. Isn't it strange that a student opened the Bible class? But God blessed my ministry very much. More and more people joined our meetings, and people were saved by the Lord, Jesus Christ. In a year, in average, more than 10 people were baptized and saved. The Spirit of God was with me at that time. In 1976, the Lord called me to become a pastor. So I started to build the Japanese Christian church in Düsseldorf. It was the first Japanese-speaking church in Europe. I had no idea when I went to Germany that I'd become a pastor and build the first Japanese-speaking church in Europe. That was his plan. The Lord had also a great plan for my life. During my stay in Germany, from the end of 1960, German government had invited the German people from Russia, Romania, other East European countries back to Father's country. Thousands of Germans immigrated into these countries in the 18th century. And they were living in East European countries in the past about or close to 300 years. But they all kept the German culture and their language. They built German colonies. I don't know if you know that Germany was divided into West and East at that time, after the Second World War. East Germany and other East European countries were occupied by communism and socialism, which means they didn't recognize the living God of the Bible. So there were many atheists in these countries. Christians and churches were persecuted a lot. The Lord had planned for my life to meet these people who came out of these countries. I thought there were not so many Christians in these countries, but oppositely, there were so many Christians. These Christians were persecuted very much because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Many Germans and Jews were sent to concentration and labor camp for more than 20 years, 25 years in Siberia. It was very, very hard history. That was the beginning of my ministry, behind Iron Curtain. I don't have enough time to tell you all of these stories today, but maybe you allow me to share one of my testimonies. That was maybe in the middle of 1970. I was a student at that time. But my Christian friends invited me to visit these German, Russian German people for their church or their worship service in Bonn. The Bonn was the capital at that time. And because they just came out of Russia, they didn't have their own church building. So that's why they rented the state church. In Germany, they have a state church. The most of people belong to the state church. And in the morning, they have a worship service. So, but in the evening, it's free. So that's why they rented this church, state church. So evening service started at 6 p.m., I think. So I thought maybe if I can go to this church maybe 30 minutes earlier, then maybe I can take a seat. And I arrived there 30 minutes before the worship started. But, my friend, the church was full of the people. Maybe the size was almost same as this size, maybe I would say. But full of the people. No empty seat. Kids were sitting on the platform here. Youth kept standing beside the chair. Only senior people took seats. And then worship started. That was 30 minutes before the worship started. But they started to singing hymns. And 30 minutes long, they were singing. And they have a music team too. And they have a guitar, accordion, violin, and so on. While they were singing or praising God, they are weeping. I have never seen such a people before. It's very strange for me. I have been to go to the German churches at the time, but I have never met such a kind of people. And I recognized later that all of these songs or the hymns were composed in Siberia where they were in the labor camp. They were very, very hard situation. And they composed, they made these Christian songs. And they remembered. And they praise God and give thanks to God. And then worship service started. They had three pastors. The message was just like gun. The machine. Machine gun, I'll say maybe. That's a, how can I say that? It's a very, very strong, strong message. One of the speakers was Gerhard Hamm, who was the itinerary evangelist in Russia before. He was one of the Baptist evangelists in Russia before. Every time he preached, 100 people were converted. Well, I have never seen. And he also came to Japan to have meetings here. And I was the interpreter. It was a great time. And his son, Victor, he had only one son, is now the vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelist Association. His father was a great man, but he passed away. So the Victor is loved by Billy Graham very much, you know. And 1991, Soviet Union had cracked. And 1 or 2 years later, Billy Graham went to the Moscow to have the crusade for days, for 10 days. You know, they had an Olympic stadium, 60,000 people gathering for 10 days. That's full of the people in the stadium. The Victor stood beside Billy Graham. I was very shocked and very surprised because I know him. I knew him. I met him when he came out of Russia. He was a young man at that time. And he went to Bible college in England, and I wrote a recommendation for him. When I think of all this story, that was the plan of God. I had no idea. Back to my story. The service started with three pastors. That was a tremendous, wonderful message. I was moved so much. The message was German and Russian, mixed languages. And after the service, the chairman asked me to come front and to give the testimony for 10 minutes. So I stood on the platform and gave the 10-minute testimony. While I was giving them my testimony, my brother and sisters were weeping. And I felt very strange. Why were they so weeping? After my testimony, the old man came close to me. He took my hand so strongly. And he told me that he came out of Russia 2 weeks ago. Yes, I could recognize him. Russian people don't have ties as Christians, don't have belts at all. So, very easy to recognize these people who came out of foreign countries. And second, their language is different as a normal High German. They speak the Low German, so it was so easy for me to identify people. And this old man told me, I have just come out of Russia. I'm so happy to see you, my brother. You are the first Japanese brother in Christ whom I met, he said. I was in Siberia for more than 25 years. And at that time, I met Japanese and Korean prisoners. They were also prisoners. And they are all sentenced to death. We had no hope. But our God is alive. And he took me, come out of Russia, back to my father's country. And he planned to meet you this year, he said. While he was giving me his testimony, the tear from his eyes dropped on my hand. And I was moved so much. What happened in these countries? I was very sorry. I had no idea at that time. And that was the beginning of my ministry behind Iron Curtain Company. Since then, that is 1975, 76, I started to go into these countries. I smuggled the Christian literature, Bibles, into these countries. Because I speak German. You know, German was the first foreign language at that time. So no one knows that Japanese speak German in communist countries at that time. So that was very good for me. And I drove a car from Germany over Vienna, Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, and then to Romania, Hungary, EVs and Russia. There is, I have many, many stories. I wrote it in Japanese, but I don't have enough time to explain or to tell you all of my stories. I'm sorry. But, the Lord had his great plan for my life. And first, he brought me to Germany and to build a Japanese-speaking church in Düsseldorf. And then he planned for me to meet Russian, Romanian, Germans. And I stayed all together 12 years in Germany. And then I came back to Japan. So I have to cut my message out of here. And after I came back to Japan, the Lord had also great plan for my life. The Lord allowed me to build the two churches. One is in Sakai International Bible Church. The second one is Kitahama International Bible Church. Maybe next time I will tell you more details if the God allowed me. So I would like to share the word of God with you this morning. And today takes John chapter 15. And John chapter 15 is very well known for each of us. So I believe that everyone knows these Bible verses. Okay? So Jesus told the parable of the vine just before being crucified during his passion. We understand why the parable is important. Then, what was the real meaning of the parable? First of all, Jesus said in John chapter 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. The Israelites must have been the choicest vine. God the farmer planted the good vine, but it became a bad one, bad wild vine. It was planted as the good vine for good vine, but it became a bad vine which bore bad fruit. That was the real result. But why? Because of the unfaithfulness and the sins of Israel. However, God, the farmer, is the one of the wrath. He carried out the plan so that the vine could bear good fruit. And the plan was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the true vine. True means the genuine things. Genuine thing, not false one, it means the real vine, not the end of the history of Israel. My friends, the farmer thinks it is very important for the vine to bear good fruit. Let me give you one example in Germany. A vineyard sits for the long distance on the both sides of the Mosel River. The Mosel River is well known all over the world, because of Mosel wine. The great river of 544 kilometers runs through Rosenburg into Germany and joins the Rhine River, which is in France. There are beautiful vineyards on both sides of the gently winding river. The river runs into Germany first through the city of Trier, where I was studying at the university. It took 1 hour to go to the university from my homestead house by bicycle. As I was studying the university, I was attending the university, and I was extremely impressed by the farmers working in the vineyard. They were working there every day, both on the snowy winter days and on hot summer days. The harvest in autumn lasted just a week. There was no school during that harvest time, and all of the adults and children were gathering grapes in their vineyards. It was a joyful time. They were working faithfully for an entire year for the 1 week of harvest time. Just to remember, they are working just for 1 week of the harvest time. And there, the famous Moses wine is produced. So I know how hard the farmer is working. The farmers work. Farmer cares for each vine with caution. Grape cultivation in Europe is focused on the headed styles. And the overhead tractors method is seen in Japan. The grape cultivation method in Palestine at that time was make the vine branches creep over the ground. The method was to make branches exposed to nighttime dew. But we see the branches in Israel like that. Even today, however, vine branches need an appropriate amount of air between the branches and the ground of surface to bear fruit. Then the farmers lay large stones between them and make the branches creep over them to bear fruit. God the Father in heaven prepares the environment for us to bear fruit. A farmer's work entails mainly two things. One is to cut off branches. John chapter 15:2 says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." Japanese translation writes, "My branches, watashi no eda." But every branch, no, my branch, but in English translation, it's every branch. It's a different. And bears no fruit in the original language means a thing which has no will to bear fruit. The other work of the farmers is to prune. This is the second point, John chapter 15:2. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. To prune is katairo, to freeze away in the original language, Greek. In ancient time, people compared the pruning to cleansing. To prune was used according to the meaning of cleanse away. The German Martin Luther's Bible uses the term reinigen, to wash clean. Reinigen is cleaning in Japanese. John chapter 15:5 is being translated to prune branches from the context. The purpose of pruning is to bear much fruit. Pruning is the farmer's work. Just remember, the branches can't prune by themselves. Pruning is done to bear much fruit. There are no Christians who do not experience pruning. If someone has hardship in their life, it means that God, the Father, is pruning them so that they will bear abundant fruit. So, my friends, I want to encourage you this morning, those who have a trial, temptation, or difficulties, don't be discouraged. God knows that. And He is beside you. No, He is with you. And He wants to encourage you. He wants you to bear the fruit in your life. This is our God whom we believe. Jesus said that abundant fruit is yielded by pruning. The Bible teaches about various kinds of spiritual fruit. For example, Galatians chapter 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Ephesians chapter 5 also says about fruit of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all God's goodness, righteousness, and truth. And the third point is fruit of lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Though Jesus, therefore, let continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confesses His name. God prunes us to bear the blessing of fruit. You know, this is true. I have heard a lot of stories from the brothers and sisters who came after former Soviet Union, Romanians. They had a really difficult time. But they are so faithful to the living God. And the faithful God helped them when they need it. So they were pruned by God. And they have very, very wonderful faith and pure faith. Sometimes I feel just like a kid. Very, very simple faith they have. I'm very surprised. And I was moved so much by their testimony. You know? In Germany, not in Germany, but France, England, Holland, in most of the European countries, Christianity is going down. You know, church members are 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, but Sunday morning, only 30 people are gathering. This is the situation. And homosexual is a normal right now. They say they are Christian, they are living together with that marriage. It is so difficult right now. But the Russian Germans, Romanian Germans are different. And one professor, a professor of a seminary in Bonn, said a few weeks ago that Russian German churches is, our model at the right church before God. It is true, you know. In almost last 50 years, they built 1,000 churches. Can you believe it? They moved out of their countries in middle of the 1970s. And in the last 50 years, they built 1,000 churches. And more than 200,000 youth, they are so active. They are evangelizing. They are preaching gospel, not only in Germany or Europe, but also in the third country. They sent also missionaries to Afghanistan too. For example, my Bible college director was a missionary in Afghanistan, Kabul. He used to give us a testimony in the lecture time. I still remember very clearly. Many Germans and Russian Germans were working in such a difficult country because Jesus Christ is alive and that Jesus sent them to this country. So their hearts were burning for working for the Lord. So they have joy to serve the Lord. They have seen the people who are converted and they've got to receive the joy of God. They receive the peace of God. They receive the grace of God. It is also a pleasure for all of us too. So I also expect among Japanese people too here, we bring the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ. But very little number of the people are interested in hearing the gospel. It is so difficult because materialism in Japan has been so increasing. It became so rich. People are not interested in Christianity. People are not interested in the Bible. But this is the end time, I would say. That God allowed us to go through this situation. What we need is just one point, to be obedient to Him. God is watching us. God is looking at us. He knows each of us. He knows and He knows and He plans everything, you know, for our lives. Okay? So, the secret to bear fruit, I would say, we want to bear fruit in our life. I believe that everyone wants to bear fruit in our life, too. I want to mention just two points. 1 John chapter 15 verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus says something strange. You are already clean because of the word. It isn't about the deed, for example. Jesus washed his disciples' dirty feet. However, the point of Jesus' word, not his deed, but in washing feet, but Jesus said that the word makes clean. I told you before that the prune has the meaning to make clean in the German term, reinigen. Jesus said here, you are already clean because of the word. His word relates to chapter 15, verse 5. That is that his word has authority, not deed. I am the vine, you are the branches. It is the word that has authority. The other secret is to remain in Jesus. This is second point. No branch can bear fruit by itself, no matter how hard it tries. John chapter 15, 4 says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, neither can you bear the fruit unless you remain in me. The Bible writes the important secret to bear fruit here. Remain in me. We easily depart away and become fruitless. My friends, it doesn't mean that we can automatically bear fruit because we are Christians and we have faith in God. No. Remain in me. We should remain in Jesus' word. This is the important point. And we need to do it with our will and our choices. Jesus said, John chapter 15, 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. My friends, the blood of Jesus has power to cleanse our uncleanness and spots. Therefore, we should remain in his word of the Bible. The word is the secret where we, the branches, can remain in the vine with Jesus Christ through daily devotional time. Branches need nourishment from the trees. Yes. Like this, we can get nourishment through devotional time. If you take time every morning, you get the nourishment from the Bible, from the living God. You get encouragement. You get the strength to live. As we learn in this way, we come to know the relation between the vine and its branches is the relationship of life. Yes, because he is alive. And he is ready to help me. And help you too. That is the relationship between the vine and its branches. It's the fellowship of life. Fellowship of life. My friends, Church of Christ has the fellowship of life. If the church doesn't have the fellowship of life, I don't want to say that the church. Jesus is the head of the church and is still alive. The fellowship of life is the community, including Christ's life. The fellowship of life is the church of Christ. The community of life where the Lord presents should not have uncleanness or spots. This is the place to experience the kingdom of God in this world. Jesus said, John chapter 4, 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Isn't it a wonderful word? Let's remain firm in Jesus Christ, the vine. We would like to have nourishment from Jesus and bear much fruit in Christ. Well, I want to conclude my message. The title of my message this morning is Let's Live from Grace to Grace. Everyone wants a fruitful life. Yes. we heard the secret of how we can get this, such a fruitful life. I want to mention 2 points. The first one, let's give thanks to God. Give thanks to the Father in heaven who is the farmer and also the vine who is Jesus Christ. He will take care of us. He is always ready and stands, not only stands, working with us every day. Second point is, let's remain firmly in the vine to have rich nourishment of the world. You know, we can get the rich nourishment of the world. We can get it through the devotional time. Let's build the church of the fellowship life. He will lead us to a blessed life, living in God's master plan. This is the will of God. We can begin to lead a fruitful life from now on. Let's give thanks to God again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. You are so good to each of us. We can't see you now, but we know that you are alive and you love each of us. Thank you for the word of God you gave us this morning. And I ask you to bless all our friends here to join this worship service and encourage them. Give them strength. Give them grace. And be with them this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.